So it's time for another voice recording segment from over here across the pond, and I wanted to start with an apology. Over the past month, there's been several stories about Air India, and also Rob mentioned Luckler Airport. That's the one wedged on the side of the Himalayas in Nepal, which is regularly quoted as the most dangerous airport in the world. Well, I'd lined up Rohit Rao from Aeroblogger to come onto the show and talk to us about these, but due to my schedule and domestic issues, I've had to postpone the interview several times. Now, I know that Rohit was keen to join us, so my apologies to Rohit, but please do look him up on the aeroblogger.com and on Twitter at the Aeroblogger. So, Rohit, sorry about that. We will catch up very soon. I thought I'd say a few words quickly, though, about Luckler Airport. As some of you may be aware, my son trekked up to the base camp of Everest earlier this year and used Luckler to fly in and out of. Now, not being an aviation fan, but obviously a bit of a challenge junkie, Alex loved the flight in and out, which really is like a sort of aircraft carrier launch where the aircraft picks up speed and seems to just shoot off the edge of the mountain. I think he flew in a Twin Otter or something like that. He loved it and he wasn't bothered about the record at the airport at all. So I'll put a picture or two in the show notes for everyone to have a look at that. Now, my next item involves some comments from Rob. Now, listen to this. Well, Rob, how can you dare say that any aircraft is too loud? You'll be saying next that those darn jets are too noisy at those darn air shows. What sort of an airplane geek complains about the noise? Now, I get it, if you're a little too close to any aircraft without ear defenders, it can be a little uncomfortable. But for me, and from someone who saw The Who a few decades ago when they were recorded as the loudest band ever, I say bring it on. To me, those Garrett engines sound great. In fact, I really enjoyed flying the Jetstream and even recording Across the Pond segment. I think it was episode 145. I never found it any less spacious than what we have nowadays on modern jet aircraft, and I really enjoyed the ambience that the aircraft and the aircrew created. Maybe it was the carrier or the layouts, but for me, the Eastern Airways Jetstreams were really an enjoyable AvGeek experience.
You're listening to Across the Pond, coming to you from the front seat of an Airbus.
Terrain, pull up!
Okay, so finally, to last week's show, David made me think a little bit about a comment that he made, and I want to place a question to ourselves and to our listeners. Just a little bit of background though. My grandmother was born just before the start of the 20th century and saw lots of innovations in aerospace during her lifetime. The first heavier-than-air flight, the use of aircraft for war and transport, the jet engine, supersonic travel, and, of course, men on the moon and missions to Mars. Now, when my nan was born, Britain and many other nations had significant interests and power around the world. The British Navy was, of course, very strong. But there was a new power evolving that would come to dominate the 20th century, and that, of course, was the USA. It flew the first aircraft and eventually launched a man to the moon. Now, in aviation terms, there really was no other air power that could challenge it, and that probably still exists today. And that's where David's comments came from. But is this turning? You know, US airlines and manufacturers dominated air transport, building enormous numbers of aircraft for massive air growth across the US. Boeing still today builds some of my favourite airliners and fighters. But is it changing? 30-odd years ago, European nations collaborated and through private investment then went on to evolve to be Airbus, who I would say smashed all records in the past few years with the A320neo, pushing Boeing to respond with the 737 MAX. You know, American and United, when I grew up, were the biggest airlines in the world, dominating demand for airliners, almost prescribing the aircraft requirements to the manufacturers and placing gigantic orders. Now, this definitely has changed with the new worldwide hubs evolving in the Middle East and Emirates et al. Now telling manufacturers what it wants from new designs. And we've seen this in the Boeing 777X and the Airbus A350-1000 models. So from placing a man on the moon, I still think the US dominates space travel through NASA and exploration in space. But with the loss of the shuttle, human spaceflight launches now are in the hands of Soyuz. In fact, even now, ESA has three rockets launching from its base in French Guiana. Okay, so here's my question. What will evolve in the next 100 years in aviation and aerospace? Will the USA's stronghold diminish, as did Britain's Navy through the last century? Will manufacturing migrate to Europe or to China? I know some are mock Chinese aerospace manufacturing recently, but they certainly may start dictating as they buy up more manufacturing specialisms from the US and other parts of the world. Will India and Asia dominate? I genuinely don't know myself, but I'd love to see what our listeners think. Will history repeat itself? So on that note, this is Peter Johnson, reporting for the Airplane Geeks from across the pond.